Welcome, everyone, to the Journey to Success radio show with your host, Taylor Tagg. This program is on the Journey to Success radio network, a new station on blogtalkradio.com. The purpose of JTS Radio is to interview people who are making a difference in the world with transformational businesses, thoughts, ideas, and actions that encourage and inspire. The Journey to Success broadcast team consists of Tom Cunningham, Michael Collins, Tracy Montgomery, Dave Ublecki, Ray Stendel, and myself, Taylor Tagg. Before we start our interview today with Dorsey Lasovic, let me tell you a little bit about my background and my program. I help people who are ready for a quantum leap in life learn precisely how to let go of hurt and resentments, permanently releasing themselves of the past to experience boundless peace and freedom. It's quite amazing. To find out more about my powerful heart-centered forgiveness work and my forthcoming book, The Path to a Peaceful Heart, please visit me at TheEvolvingHeart.com. Now to today's success story. My guest today is Dorothy Lasovic. Dorothy started her business, which is Authentic Leader's Edge, in 2002, and she focuses on working with leaders and organizations that are fully committed to getting real about who they are and playing bigger. She is a former executive in the U.S. retail industry with more than 20 years' experience in fashion, sales, and marketing, and she is keenly aware of what is essential in developing a personal brand that establishes a leader's credibility and expertise. Dorothy works with evolving leaders that span over 15 different industries. She strengthens their inner game that empowers them to make decisions with greater confidence, have more influence, own their value, and consistently produced outstanding results. And this transformation starts with identifying the foundational elements of their own personal brand. Now, Dorothy, from 2008 to 2011, was nominated for the RBC Canadian Woman's Entrepreneur Award, and she has once again received the honor of being nominated for 2012. And Dorothy also enjoys her role of being a mentor to support the career development of young female professionals. So we're really excited to have a special guest on our program today, Dorothy Lasovic. Dorothy, welcome to Journey to Success.
Well, I'm so happy to be here, Taylor. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we're glad to have you today, and we want to talk about your business, which is really fascinating to me. It's called Authentic Leader's Edge. So give us an idea of what it is and what led you to start your business.
Okay, I'd be happy to. It's interesting, as you say, Authentic Leader's Edge, because when you talk about me working with evolving leaders, Authentic Leader's Edge is an evolving process also, as I've rebranded my own business for the third time to get to Authentic Leader's Edge, to really uncover what I do and be very specific. So I work with high performers. I work with senior level executives in organizations. I work with entrepreneurs that are looking to, they're looking for more. They're looking to play bigger. They're looking to remove the obstacles that they feel that are in front of them that might be stopping them. You know, some of them feel like they're going unnoticed, or they doubt the value that they have to contribute. And I work with the leaders to help them, and people only that are looking for the advice. So they could be leaders moving into new roles. They could be a leader that has just moved into a new role, or entrepreneurs that are looking to play bigger in their own lives and businesses.
Interesting. And I noticed on your website you've got kind of three different categories. You've got personal leadership, you've got executive presence, and you've got visual presence. So kind of give us an idea of what those three mean.
Okay. So when we talk about leadership presence and executive presences, is much the same. So when we think about our presence and the way we are and the way we show up in the world, it's huge, right? Because the first thing that we notice about people is when they walk into a room, if you're in a room, who is it that you're paying attention to? Who is it that attracts your attention? It's the energy of an individual. So what is the energy that, you know, when we talk about brand and brand presence and leadership, it's important to take time to define what that means for you. When you think of leadership, what are the words that you would use to define that? if you think about executive presence and what that means, so anywhere from a political presence when you see a political leader or from somebody within an organization, or you're looking at business leaders, what is it that they possess? You know, and it's important to think about that and identify it, because most people will say, oh, I just really love the way that person comes across, or they're so engaging. What is it that's making them engaging? Right? So it's not, we identify certain things at the surface that are important, but then it's getting underneath that as far as what are the behaviors that are showing up for them to be identified with those words. So one of the really important things that I do in working through the branding process with people and finding their own brand solution is helping them figure out what are the words that you would want to use to be described by others. What would be important?
I know words and the vocabulary you use are really important.
Right? Huge, because they all carry energy, right? And that's why it's important for you, Taylor, or for myself, or any of the listeners out there, that they identify the words for themselves and how they want to come across. So it is so they can project what is natural and authentic for them and what they're striving for, not necessarily what someone's telling them to be, but who they want to be. So even identifying, you know, an executive or leadership presence, it's identifying how you want to come across and then all the different elements that are involved in that. So when we talk about visual presence, that's a very specific type thing, program that I offer in transition companies and organizations, especially with salespeople, because it is part of the message that we're projecting. And what is the message that you want to deliver about yourself? One of the first visual impacts that you make is the way you dress, from the way you wear your hair to the way that, you know, the clothes you wear and the condition of your clothes. You'd be surprised with some of the executives that I've worked with, some of the things that I've seen over the years as that you may not even consider that someone would go out and do that kind of thing, like having staples to keep up their hems or wearing something that's coffee stained when they're going to speak in front of a group because it's one of their favorite jackets and they were very aware that that was there. But what we need to consider is what's the impression that you're leaving? And when people see that, we don't think about that all the time, but when people see that, what is that saying about you? So when you when you show up in that way, right, it's like, you know, did they know that they had that coffee stain there? Did they know? And actually we had pointed it out to this woman. She says, oh, no, I know. She says, but this is my favorite jacket. It was like her lucky jacket, and she had to wear it.
Yeah, I work with people all the time that, you know, go on interviews, and they're not aware of how they're presenting themselves, knowing that, you know, the majority of their communication is nonverbal. It's what they've got on. It's how they're presenting themselves. It's how they're projecting their energy to other people. And, you know, we all do a great job of saying, okay, this is what I need to do for myself to make sure I present something good for myself. But you're not thinking about the ramifications or the consequences of how you look to other people.
Right. And, you know, and as many times as people say that's superficial, it may be, but the thing that we need to consider is it's one way of us delivering a message about who we are, and it's how it's being interpreted. I remember my children when my oldest one was going into high school. Now this is going years back, and you go for an orientation session because they're going to tell you what you can expect and what the rules and regulations are and what your children can expect. And the principal, who was up in front of the room having the conversation, it was so interesting because at the end, when they allowed us to break to go out and look at the classrooms to see what the high school was like, all the parents were talking about the principal's hair. She had one of these ratted up hairstyles that were flipped at the end that had to be like a 50s, 60s type hairstyle. And we were in the 90s, And everybody was talking about the hairstyle. So many times we can say it's not important. But, you know, my way of the people's way of thinking is, if that's the way she's wearing her hair, where else is she backwards in her thinking? Or where else is she stuck in her thinking?
Right.
What
and
else isn't she paying, what else isn't she paying attention to?
That's the surface. Those are the surface judgments that we have to deal with every day from people. And that's just, unfortunately, it's still a part of life. And so you want to be able to present your best foot, put your best foot forward at all times, because you know that other people are judging you on the surface even before they get to know you.
Yes, and one of the things that I want to say that's so important that I talk to clients about, and why it's important to develop their own brands, and our brands are really our reputations, right? When I grew up, it was the reputation, but it's a brand, because we live in a branded world. People understand brands. We understand the brands we use, and if we think about the correlation between brands we use and why we use them versus our own brands and how that applies to us, how is it that we want to represent ourselves? So building your own model of how you want to be, living by your own standards of excellence versus something that's imposed. One of the things that I talk about in workshops, or when I even work with independent clients, it's really coming up with their own brand model. Because we can typically, as adults, even as kids, we think about, who likes to be told what to do? I'm not sure. Do you like to be told what to do, Taylor?
No.
I'm sure.
Someone likes to be told what to do.
That's right. I want to do it my way, right? So if we give people the opportunity to figure out authentically what belongs to them as far as their values, as far as their strengths, what comes naturally to them, what do they want to be known for, what are they expert at? It helps them lead with a different sense of certainty around what they're able to do. They understand the value that they bring to the table, because there's nothing greater than self-respect. We cannot respect respect others if we're not showing self-respect for ourselves. So that's where it's got to start. So even though the personal brand process of helping people understand what it is that they're made of and understand that value, because oftentimes we do not acknowledge the value we offer. You know, there's many times I hear people say, anybody can do that. That's not true. If I challenge the listeners to think about, if they're saying anybody can do that, to really look at what they're doing, because not anybody can do that. That's something very special and unique to you. And the thing is it comes so naturally to you, you think it's one of those skill sets anybody can do. And it's not true. And it's understanding that this is something special that you bring to the table. And we all have our unique way of demonstrating who we are and what we bring to the table. There's a lot of people out there talking about personal brands. But one thing I'm really clear about is, when I go into organizations, I have been told that no one does it like I do it. Because I do, in the way that I do it, I go to a deeper level. This isn't just about figuring out your brand and how you put yourself out there. This is about really figuring out who you are.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit more.
Okay,
if I was a client that was going to be under your coaching and advice, you know, kind of what would my experience be like? Tell us, what would my experience and what would I experience under you?
Well, first of all, Taylor, we talk about if you wanted to, we wanted to work through a coaching process one-on-one. We discuss what your biggest challenges are right now. What are your frustrations? What are you going for in your life? Because I'm working with people that are looking for more. They want to play bigger. They find that they're tired of holding themselves back in a position where they've been, and they want to go for it. They've been overlooked. They feel like they're flying under the radar, and they haven't really identified some of the things that are holding them back. So we would start with building a plan and setting your objectives of what success looks like and what you want to take away from the session. And everything I always do starts with the foundational pieces of what a client needs to look at as far as what their brand is. So we go through exercises that identify your values, that helps you identify your key strengths and, you know, what you want to be known for. Because many times we can be good at a lot of different things, but there's some things that we can be good at, and I've experienced it in my own career in the corporate world, is that I was good at things, so that's what I kept getting slotted into going in as a buyer in the retail industry, going into departments that needed to be revamped, that were in trouble. I was great at figuring out and identifying the problems and moving through that problem to create success and turnover and profitability, and then was moved on to the next area. I was good at it, but it's not what I really love to do. So it's all of us taking the responsibility of finding out what we really love to do and then promoting ourselves that way, positioning the projects that we're working on that way. So identifying those key strengths, what comes natural to us, and how we want to be. And then lining up everything you do, from your communication, the language you use, in your emails, when you're speaking live, how you're holding yourself, what's your visual cues that you're giving off, and going through that process of now taking everything that you've identified as far as your brand model and relating that to all the other things you're doing in your business. So
I wanted to ask you more about that too, Dorothy. Is the fact that you take a person and you figure out their strengths and their weaknesses and their value to their job and their performance and what they really want to do in life. So what's the major mindset change that you see in some of your clients? Because I know this is probably a revealing process. And one that they see themselves in a much different way after they have worked with you. So, what do you see mostly with the mindset change of some of the people you work with?
The biggest mindset is understanding that there's so much more to them than they thought. That they have the strength and the courage to do things that they didn't feel that they may have had before. There's a greater sense of accountability around the way that they're leading. There is more certainty in the language that they use and how they're willing to step up and voice their ideas instead of holding themselves back. So they begin to be noticed for what they're good at. They begin to be noticed and appreciated in the organization for what their contribution is.
I like that. And I know probably it's not an easy thing for your clients to do, to take a look at themselves, because that's really what they're doing. However, the benefits and the perceptions and understandings that come from that on the other side are probably worth it and a lot more, aren't they?
It is. And Taylor, the one thing that I do hear from clients all the time is it doesn't just change what they're doing at work. It changes their relationships at home. Because when we begin to change who we are and we begin to change the way we're communicating to get more of what we want. Now, understand that when we talked about at the beginning, we talked about words. One of the processes that I have people go through is identifying some key words and how they want to be known. That becomes their measuring stick, their guideline for everything that they do. So we are who we are all the time, or we should be. And if we're not, that's a problem. So if we are that way all the time and we begin to see changes at work, we can't help but have it influence our personal lives. I mean, I've heard clients come back to me and talk to me about how it's changed their relationship with their 17-year-old son, how it's changed their relationship with their husband or their wife. It's changed the way that they're actually living their life. And the one thing is that it takes courage to do things. You know, when I'm working with new leaders that are in their leading groups, and I had one guy that said he was going in and had to present, run through a presentation with his boss, and he was very concerned because he didn't have it done. And I said, well, the worst thing you can do is go in there and start making excuses, right? And I said, the one thing that is would be beneficial for you as a leader is just to walk in there, tell them what you don't have, tell them what you're doing about it, and when you'll be prepared to deliver it. Oh, my God. He called me after his meeting. He says, it worked beautifully. I can't believe it. He was a wreck because we're not used to, as a leader, we feel we should have it all down pat. And, you know, no matter how much experience we have and no matter what role we're playing in our lives, that we all kind of stumble and screw up and we don't know everything. I know it's a tough one to admit sometimes, but we really don't. We don't know everything, and it's okay to do that. And the thing that my clients repeat when they step out and stretch themselves in ways that they haven't before is just saying, it wasn't that bad. Because I'll say, so what was that like for you? You know? And it can be simple things or things that I think are simple. But what's simple for us sometimes is a huge stretch for somebody else. And it's understanding that it's not that bad. Because what we do is we have these limitations. And some of the things we do is that we are going to come up against obstacles and limitations. When we identify how we want to be, you know, we're all looking to be recognized for that. I had one leader that said, okay, I see how this is working with my team. What if I'm not acknowledged in the organization for, you know, doing this great work? Well, my belief is that you can't do great work and not be acknowledged at some level.
Right.
But the other thing is who are you doing it for? Who are you doing it for? This is your brand. This is how you say you want to put yourself out there in the world and how you want to be known. So who are you doing it for? It'd be great if we worked for people that recognized and appreciated the value that we have and the way that we're leading. It doesn't happen in every organization.
Well, that's true. It sounded like your client was looking for approval from someone else, from management, someone else to say he's done a good job, but you're turning that around to say, this is who you are and this is what you're putting out in the world, and you know, you should be proud of yourself for doing that.
Right. And we have to understand, when we're doing this, we have to be very clear and understand who we're doing it for. You know, you're doing this work. So if we're working together, it's understanding that you're building the muscles of confidence and courage and certainty and consistency in everything that you're doing.
Well, it almost sounds like to me, you know, Dorothy, you like to talk about Napoleon Hill on the show and his success principles. It sounds like part of what you're doing with your clients is really identifying what your purpose is, your definition of purpose. What is it that you're doing in the world, and who are you doing it for?
Absolutely. And you know, the thing is, Taylor, I appreciate, because there's a lot of crossovers from what Napoleon Hill. It was Think and Grow Rich was a book that I read very early on in my career, which has had a great influence, because it is the way we think. And the thing that we have to uncover is the biggest thing that holds us back is ourselves and the way we think. You know, so it's identifying what is it that we want. Be very intentional about that and deliberate. Taking the words in the way that we want to be in our strengths and making that come alive by the way we demonstrate that. So, you know, sometimes when I'm leading a session, you know, if people say that they're happy to be here, you got to look like you're happy to be there. You know, you can say you're happy to be there, and if you kind of have slumped shoulders and you're hunched over and you're not smiling and you've got low energy, you know, what is that really projecting? So it's understanding. It's really understanding. I've been challenged by I do a program at one of the universities here in Canada, in Toronto, and challenged by some of the students sometimes is, do we really have control over what other people think about us? And I know that there's many times in life we don't have a lot of control, but we absolutely have control over ourselves. And we give away a lot about who we are just by the way we present ourselves, our facial expressions, whether we're making eye contact or not. whether we're initiating a handshake, whether that handshake is a firm handshake or a very light, soft handshake, which doesn't, you know, does not project confidence. The way we carry ourselves, the proximity we stand with someone else, if we're looking at them straight on, or if we're looking at them from the side and we're not being totally open, there's so many things that are read into and on a very subconscious level of why we're connecting with someone and why we're not. And we're So Napoleon Hill, there's a lot of his principles as far as purpose and mindset and the way we think is what comes about is absolutely true. We have to see the success we want to be. And that's why creating a model of what we want to project is a good place to start.
Well, he's got a principle called creative vision, which is, you know, it speaks to your leadership, because I know people who are great leaders. You know, their teams follow vision. They don't follow anything else except the vision that the leader puts forth. And part of that vision is how you present yourself, your own personal brand, putting it out there for others to follow. And I know that's probably a big part of what you're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and I help the other thing when you say, you know, having a vision, and when we talk with leaders, especially when they're leading a new team, you know, think about what's the message of the team. What is it that you want everybody to pull together and do? And there's one that a client has done that was so, so simple that I still remember it. Everything this team does is about making life easier and business better. So everything that comes across their desk, and it's all client-focused, everything that comes across their desk, does this make life easier and business better? Then it's not a priority. And it's just a real simple question that they live by on their team to create success. And the business increase that has happened because of that has been phenomenal.
Yeah, it's almost like a guiding principle. You know, I remember at FedEx, the guiding principle there was make every FedEx customer experience outstanding. Didn't tell you how to do it. Didn't tell you how you should do it. It just said, do what you got to do to make it outstanding. And if it's not outstanding, then you're not doing your job.
Exactly. And the way you would make it outstanding and relate to somebody else is different than the way I would do it, right? So
right. It's
really great to have that flexibility in doing that. There's a book that I have read recently, and it's called The Game of Work. And it's written by Charles Conrad. And he talks about the same kind of principles. It relates back to, there's so many things that come out of Napoleon Hill, right? There's nothing new. It's all been said before, right?
Right. It's all been said before. It's just people have taken it and made it their own and showed it in a little bit different way, and the principles are still working beautifully and well in society today. It's really amazing.
Absolutely.
When you look at it.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
So you mentioned the game of work, Dorothy. Are there any other books that have influenced you as a leader? I know that you work with other leaders, but I know there are probably some materials out there, and our readers love to hear about books that our guests or our interviewees are reading.
There, you know what, Taylor, there have been so many books over time, and Think and Grow Rich has been one of them. There's a book that I probably should have bought cases of it, because I give it almost to every client that I work with, and it's Leadership and Self-Deception, Getting Out of the Box. It's written by the Arbinger Institute. And it is an amazing book, because it's all about communication and the way we communicate and how we deceive ourselves in thinking that it's not us, it's somebody else. And
that's,
it's a very powerful... Go ahead.
That's a big one.
It is a big one. And, you know, it's funny, because so many clients, if I call me and say, especially my male clients call me and laugh and say, this book was written for me. My wife thinks so too. So that's been very powerful, and books like Good to Great, because it's the concepts that we need to think about and put into practice. So, you know, one of the things that I share, I feel like there's not a lot of information that I share with that people don't really know about. They know about it, but they're not doing it. And to know and not to do is not to know. And that's a quote by somebody, but it's I don't know who said that. But it's something that really stuck with me, because many of us learn information, but we don't do anything with it. So it's not the information that's so great. It's what we do with it. It's what we take away from that information and how we actually apply it. And there was another book that I've read. It's called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy, which is a phenomenal book because he talks about the practice. To me, it's what I call the practice principle, is, you know, we have to practice new habits in order to form behaviors in order to form a habit. So, and it's the compound effect of that. And it's what do we do typically when we're starting something new? We don't find immediate results, we quit doing it. We don't get somebody's positive feedback, we quit doing it. So
that's why we find that everywhere, don't we?
Yeah, but if we did it, he talked about the penny principle, which has been talked about many times. If somebody were to come and give you $1 million or $3 million versus a penny, what would you take? Most people would jump at the $1 million, right? But if somebody gave you a penny and said, we're going to take this and compound this over the next 30 days for you or 31 days, what would you take? Well, you know, that penny in 31 days ends up being over $10 million. But up front, it doesn't seem like worth it, so we ignore it. So what is it that we're ignoring? What is it that those small little things, it's the small details that make the difference. If we think about brands and what we enjoy, if we think about our experiences when we go on holidays with hotels and people that are behind the counter and how we're treated, it's all the little details of how we're treated, how we're greeted every morning when we come down, you know, when we're sitting in the restaurants, that influence us. What are we bringing to each experience of ourselves, of our brand, and putting ourselves out there? So it all makes a difference, and it is the little things. It's the little steps.
And you're right. It is. It is the little things that make the huge difference. Let's let everybody know how they can, if they want to contact you, Dorothy, and work with you and create their own personal brand. Where do we need to visit? We need to visit your website?
Visiting my website would be the first step. And, you know, from a standpoint of working one-on-one with me, it is, you visit the website, it's got contact information, you can reach out to me to ask any kind of questions. It's coaching. If you are long distance, I do virtual coaching, so you do have to have a computer and a camera, because I like to be more face-to-face in-person experience versus just over the phone, especially for the kind of work that I do. Because it's really important for me to see how you're coming across and not just what you're saying. Because the brand is about everything that's happening. It's the whole visual presence. For 55% of what we're working on is the nonverbal piece of what we do. And the other thing is that I know right now I'm only doing I only do corporate workshops, but I'm looking at doing public sessions too. So that's something that'll be coming over the next 6 months or so. So there's going to be things changing, too, on the website as far as some of the deliverables that I'm working on, which is very exciting, very different for me. So talk about moving out of your comfort zone and stretching yourself like I ask clients to do. I'm doing it for myself all the time.
Well, we look forward to that. I know that will be amazing. I would love to even come to one of your workshops myself. So let me ask you the last question, Dorothy, because you know, you kind of hit on it here. As you drive other leaders to be successful, now what are some of the things that drives you to be successful in your own business? Because, you know, you're in the game of changing leaders and improving them. What are some of the key points or even key words that you use for yourself to be more successful?
Well, I think for me it's always about stretching myself. I think I've been a single mom for the last 15 years. And I think two of my biggest teachers have been my boys, constantly holding up the mirror and pushing back. For me, it is all about integrity. It's about passion. It's about my health, because my health, if I feel good about myself, I have the energy to do just about anything. And it's my mindset. It's continually doing things that help me push myself in a way, and I take that back. It's not pushing myself. It helps me stretch myself to doing more. And I do have a very adventurous soul, so I love getting out there and doing things that stretch me in that way. So I'm always looking to connect to my spiritual self because my spirituality has so much to do with who I am and how I am in the world and how I'm able to connect with my clients and do what I do for them to be able to serve them at my highest. So it's never just about serving myself and what I can make, but it's always about what is it, how is it that I can serve and serve others to get what they want.
Beautiful. And that's wonderful. And I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm pumped up. I want to be your client.
Thanks, Taylor. I appreciate that. This is great. It's been great. It's been great fun, and I really appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, we thank you, Dorothy, for joining us today. And I want to tell everybody that you're listening to Journey to Success Radio Network. Find out more about the network. You can visit us at www.journeytosuccessradio.com. And we will see you soon for our next amazing success story. So bye for now.